It is 6:36. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning, and Ray Richardson, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, you can get us in the Mid-Coast at 98.3 FM. 1310, take 1310 AM, takes you from Sanford up to Gardner, and of course, the Bennett Radio Group and the Patriot Radio Network take us up to Rangeley on the Western 98.3 FM. I think our buddy Bobby Witkowski might have caught us in Rangeley the other day. I'm not positive of that, or he may have been asleep. Either way, I'm sure he was having fun, whatever it is he was doing, because he always does. That's why we call him Bobby the Elf. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
It's funny. We're having the same weather. We thought we were getting snow, but it's just rain out here.
Well, they say snow's coming. I don't know. I just, you know, I get up in the morning, and I just do my thing, and if it's 100 degrees or 20 below, it don't matter. I just put on a pair of shorts, put on a short sleeve shirt, and go.
Then you ready to roll?
Ready to rumble, baby.
That's right. How many reindeer are on the front of your sleigh?
How many reindeer are on the front of my sleigh? Well, there used to be 9, but now there's 8 because one of them got tired. They ate too many candy bars. It was common, so we had to replace him with Chet. But we were training Chet the reindeer. Did you know that?
I'm a little shocked, honestly. I thought Boca would be ready for lead position by now.
No. Boca would never do that kind of work. Boca would sit in the sleigh next to me and try to eat the cookies and drink the milk.
So that'd be Max, then. He'd be like Max from the Grinch.
Yeah, kind of like from the Grinch, yeah. Max Perfect. Was a faithful Perfect. Companion, no doubt, and very good to the Grinch, there's no doubt. So did you get my reference when I said we were training Chet and Comet had too many candy bars? Did you get that?
I did get that.
What's that from, Bobby the Elf? You ought to know.
Very clever. That was, I forget which Santa Claus, but it was one of those.
Number two. Santa number two.
Two.
Yes.
There you go. That's right. They blend together after a while, but Tim Allen's a genius.
Genius. Oh, yeah. And Elizabeth Mitchell, who plays Mrs. Claus, she's just adorable in the movie. Adorable.
Yeah, she's great. So yes, to your point, we did get you up in Rangeley. That was lovely. It was fun to hear. And there's a couple of people up there, actually. Steve Hewins. I don't know if you remember Steve Hewins.
Oh, of course, yes.
Started Hewins Travel, and then he wound up working for Portland Downtown, and then the Restaurant Association. And so anyway, he retired up there, and he did not know that he could get you up there. So he's now informed and maybe listening this morning. It's tough to say. So,
well, Steve Hewins, if you're listening this morning, it's an honor that you're listening because you're one of the good guys of Maine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although they did abscond from the United States for Thanksgiving and went up to Quebec City, although they looked like they had a great time. But I can't imagine the turkey was as good up there.
No, it probably was not. Boy, was our turkey good. Holy macanoli. We cooked it in that way I described it on air, and I'm telling you, that bird was moist.
Yeah, that was awesome. And we were blessed to have some friends up there, the Healy's, who've been doing Thanksgiving up in Rangeley for I don't know how many decades now, and as many times as I've been invited. I was doing the Macy's Parade for a number of years, and then pandemic, and then et cetera, et cetera. And so it was really just so wonderful to go up there and just have a big celebratory Thanksgiving together and all the families and everything. So that was That was really wonderful. And of course, on Thanksgiving Day, we just had this tremendous snowfall, which was just magical because it was warm, it wasn't too windy, and it started off, a little bit of snow in the afternoon, and by, 10 o'clock at night, there was like a foot outside, and woke up in the morning, and it was just right out of a movie, and it was just perfect. A Hallmark movie, as a matter of fact. So it was really, really great. And, just thick and snowball fights, and it was just, it was very Capra-esque in a way. So, and then came down to Freeport, where we ran into you guys, you and Dee Dee, and had a wonderful time, but then there was not a lick of snow anywhere. It was crazy.
It was beautiful, though, I got to tell you. We loved Freeport so much, Freeport Oyster Bar. Samantha, who you met, is going to join us on Wednesday, and we look really forward to that.
Oh, excellent. I want to listen for that. Yeah,
she's going to come in studio. Let's see. What time is Samantha going to be on? Come on, Ray. You can do this. It's really possible. Samantha,
come on, brain.
She is going to be on at 8:30 on Wednesday. And she's just a delightful young woman. And, wow, what a job. Was the food good there or what?
That was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. The clam chowder was just knocked it out of the park. And everything there was great. You had that grilled cheese that I'm still dreaming about.
Yeah, that grilled cheese, what did they call it? Grilled cheese supreme or something like that. It was just delicious. Just delicious. Yeah,
yep.
What a bevy of food options we have here in Greater Portland, and I consider Freeport part of Greater Portland.
Oh, well, it is. So all the way down through, Scarborough and that area and all the way up through Freeport and just not quite Brunswick. That becomes mid-coast, but everything up to that point. It's a great area, and even going out to Falmouth and Yarmouth. I mean, there's so many, Main Street in Yarmouth is pretty incredible, and Falmouth's got some great spots. So there's just such a bevy of wonderful places, and, it's one of the reasons that, Portland was named the foodie, the restaurant city of the U.S., by Bon Appetit years ago. So
yeah, it was. It was in 2019, right?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can understand it. I don't know if this is still true, but at one point, we had the second most per capita restaurants in the country, only behind San Francisco.
That's right. Yep, I remember that. And at one point, I think there was a misapprehension that we had passed San Francisco, although we may have now. So. It's tough to say. But
I don't know if we have with all the restaurant closures we've had. We have had just such a bevy of them, some you know and some you don't know. But, man,
right.
Has there been a lot of restaurant closures.
Yeah, but the ones that are there, man, they're the tried and true. And I was there that for the last week. And, the small local places. If you're going to be in Portland, Maine, and you're going to be a restaurant and you're going to be there year-round, you're not living off of the tourist trade. You're living off the locals, because if you're popular with the locals, you're not going anywhere. You're a year-round spot and everything else. And I went into a couple places, and of course one of them being Ruski's, which is a little place in the West End, and oh my gosh, the food is still spot on there, and it's really reasonable, and the place is packed. You just got to wait for a table when you get in there. It's tiny to begin with, but that's a great spot. Obviously, DeMillo's is still killing it. And like you say, the oyster place we went to, that was new. I hadn't been there before. And
nor had we.
We even had some trouble finding it, but it was, once we did, man, it was rocking.
Yeah, no, it was fabulous. The place was packed the whole time we were there, and just, there's just so many wonderful gems here, GEMs, in Greater Portland, not just food, but all kinds of other things as well. That's one of the reasons we love this place. One thing my brother says to me, he lived here for 5 years back in the 80s and moved back home because my dad needed help with the family business. But he says to me all the time, what are you guys doing today? I'm like, well, we're going to go do this or go do that. And he's like, yeah, down here, there's just nothing to do. And while it has certainly gotten better because of the villages do offer some activities. And we, of course, enjoy it because there's live music every night and that kind of stuff when we go down there. But the fact is that he's always saying there's nothing to do down here. And, I love Walt Disney and can't wait to go back again sometime. But there, you can only go to Disney so many times, in the stretch of a year. And So Maine just offers so much. That's why we cherish this place. We don't just love it. We cherish it.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, one of the things, I mean, it was so great. I wasn't initially going to think I had time to go visit, but one of the spots, it's an oasis in Westbrook. It's so wonderful, is Lenny's. If you haven't been to Lenny's, get to Lenny's.
They have blueberry. Instead of buffalo, they have blueberry wings.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They're so good. They're so good.
I so appreciate Chef Melissa at DeMello's, but I got to tell you, Chef Corey Reese over at friggin' Lenny's, she knocks it out of the park and always has. She's been so wonderful over there, you know, and they have live music every night. A lot of people don't realize that. And it's quality music. They have some really, you know, a lot of local people you'll see around here. But, wow, it's so good. And they're so committed to it. And, of course, you know, Lenny's references Lenny Bro, who was one of the great studio musicians at the time and, you know, very well regarded. And Lenny's itself used to be a recording studio, which is why it's set up the way it is. And, you know, they just did such a great job over there. I can't say enough about it.
I agree. I don't know how many times we've gone over the years, but we've gone a lot. The place is always packed. One of my favorite, Steve Noyes' birthday? Was that the one we were at Lenny's? Was it Steve's?
It might have been.
So Steve obviously is a musician. And
I think it was.
So there were a lot of musicians there. And we were sitting, literally, I mean, I could touch the drums. That's how close we were to the drum kit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, various musicians would come up, and they just started jamming. And they would talk for a second and say, well, why don't we do this? And then they would just play the most extraordinary music. And we got to sit there like we were in somebody's garage, having, you know, a nice beverage and some food. And it was extraordinary. I mean, it was just unbelievable. That's the kind of stuff Dee Dee and I love the most, is whenever we're at a concert, we feel like we're in somebody's garage and they're just, you know, jamming.
Right. Well, Bill Humble, you know, he ran Empire back before it became the Chinese restaurant it is now, you know, in a previous incarnation. And he had live music upstairs every night at that point. He brought in Rebirth Brass Band, and he brought in some big names. And the food then was unbelievable, and he had offered at that point, he had a burger, beer, and a bourbon for $5 every night at, like, you know, 5 or 10 o'clock or something. It was
burger,
amazing.
Beer, and a bourbon for $5.
$5, yeah, which is, you know, and that's how he gets it. You know, he has very reasonable, you know, offerings, and like nothing at Lenny's is excessively expensive, and you go, but you're absolutely right. He cultivates a feeling like you're in his living room, you're in his house, you're just hanging out with friends watching a band, and same thing. And, you know, in the summertime when they're able to expand and go outside and they've got a, you know, big anniversary coming. So, I mean, he just does a great job. He just does a great job. And they're like 10 minutes from downtown Portland. I mean, you just get right on 302 and you're there in no time. And after a while, you're sitting there going, are we there yet? And then it just kind of like comes out of the, you know, horizon with the big, you know, the TV repair guy sign, which is, I think, grandfathered in for historical reasons. But it's just such a fun spot. It's I can't say enough about it, clearly. So, yeah, really good. And Corey, Chef Corey, oof, everything. You walk in and you're just, your expectations, you look at that chalkboard full of all the specials for the day and you're like, how does she do it back there? It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, same thing with Chef Melissa over at DeMello's.
Absolutely.
Can't even imagine what goes on in her mind with the creative concoction she comes up with. But she is extraordinary. I would so love to see her on the Food Channel. Steve, if you're listening, we're not trying to get her to leave DeMello's. But, you know, a lot of different chefs from Portland even have gone on the Food Channel and displayed some of their creativity. And we love watching the Food Network. You know, we get ideas how to make food at home from the Food Network. I would love to see Chef Melissa get into one of those competitions where they give you a couple of ingredients and then you have to come up with a masterpiece in a few minutes. I know she could do it. She's that creative.
Yeah. You know what? Here's an idea for any Harvest in the Harbor people listening. Let's get Steve and Bill. We'll get their chefs together. We'll get Chef Melissa and Chef Corey, and we do like a local version of that cook-off for something like Harvest in the Harbor or a fundraiser. That would be amazing.
Well, we were gonna do that over at where the big dome is, the sports dome, Jim and Michelle Gratello's place. Right before the pandemic hit, we were planning it in February of 2020, and then the pandemic hit, and we just tabled it and didn't worry about it. But it is a competition that I think a lot of people would come to, particularly if they got to be served some of the food and just enjoy it. It's a fun thing. I mean, I love those. Do you ever watch Tournament of Champions on the Food Network, Food Channel?
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
I love watching Tournament of Champions because you watch these guys, and they're given outrageous ingredients with outrageous utensils to make them with, and somehow or another, their mind just operates on a different level, and they pull together the most tantalizing concoctions.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. Really, one of the top chefs down here, Michael Roos, who's originally from Old Orchard Beach, and he actually got his degree, culinary degree, from SMTC, before it was SMCC, and they still have an amazing culinary program. Anyway, he had his instructor at one point. He walked in and he had to do the whole prep thing and everything. And the instructor came in and threw him a curveball and said, "Okay, here's your dish. You have to do. Oh, by the way, the freeze is broken and you didn't get your delivery today. Go." And he did it. And that's the thing. It's like you don't know what you're getting thrown. And he says, you know, he pulled it out and it did a great job and, you know, obviously impressed his instructor, but it's like he's run into that half a dozen times. He was, you know, the chef de cuisine here at NOLA in New Orleans under Emeril, and he's works for a group of restaurants now, and he's been, you know, he doesn't know what's coming every day, you know. And we had when I first met him, they had the oil spill in the I can't remember the name of the oil rig, but it created a problem because he had just opened a seafood restaurant for the restaurant group here called Salou, and all of a sudden, all the seafood was no longer viable because of that oil spill with the oil rig. So they had to pivot, and they basically rebranded and came up with a new concept for the restaurant within a couple months because they weren't going to get any shrimp or oysters or anything. So, that's the kind of stuff that happens, but that's also why they're successful. So, you know, props to SMCC and the instructor there at the time, and I think he's still on as a consultant and head of the program back in the day. And it's incredible. But yeah, the chefs, man, they work on a very, very different level, and they have to.
Yeah,
they have to be that creative.
You do.
It is an art form. I've come to accept that. You know, culinary arts. I kind of was like, you know, it's not really art; it's cooking. But no, it is absolutely an art form, and especially when you see something like, you know, going back to Chef Melissa, Chef Corey, when those dishes come out, the presentation is as important as the taste.
Yeah.
It is. It's a work of art.
I agree with you. You know, and you often hear about CPAs, you know, accountants, they're not very creative, they're boring. CPAs are another thing. It's an art form, what they do. I mean, my CPA, Greg Smith, I've said to him, I have one standard and one standard alone. I don't care what you do. I'm just not going to jail. So
he is
a really creative guy, you know, and he knows, you know how he's able to be creative is he knows the law. And so when you know the law, you can use the law. And it's like food. If you know food, you can use the food to create things that nobody even thinks about. I think Chef Melissa is one of those people. She knows food. So she is able to come up with some concoctions that nobody would even consider. And, I mean, they're off the charts. My in-laws were here in September, and we took them to DeMillo's for lunch after we picked them up at the airport. And she brought out that day's specialty for everyone at the table to be able to give a try at. Oh, my. I mean, Steve described it on the air that morning. I had him do it twice. It was that good. And it did not do justice to what she created. And I admire people like that.
Oh, without question. Without question. I mean,
we admire you too, Steve, if you're listening. We admire you too, Steve. You empower Chef Melissa, Steve. We admire you for that. And many other
things.
There
you go. That's absolutely. And, you know, and along those lines, and nothing, again, not taking anything away from Steve and what's going on at DeMillo's. I will do the same for Bill Humble, you know, creating that environment over at Lenny's and being able to do it in very different environments. You know, you've got the upscale, really elegant dining over at DeMillo's, and you got the down-home roadhouse thing.
Yeah, the more roadhouse
pub
food.
More in someone's garage.
But you hit something that's really important, and it applies to all businesses. You have to have a leader who empowers those who work with them. And there's no question Steve does that. We know our buddy Sean Moody does that. Joe Bruno does that over at Community Pharmacy. When you walk into Community Pharmacy, place is always spotless. You can see the pride in people's faces as they try to help you. And, you know, I could go on and on and on with all the great business owners that we have. But the one thing they have in common is they empower the people that work with them. And when you do that, people feel creative, they feel inspired, and they do a great job. And I think that that is lost in business a lot of times. People don't realize, the leaders don't understand, your greatest strength is your people, and when you empower them, they do amazing things.
Yeah, you got to get out of the way. It's absolutely true. And you know, we hear that message a lot from, you know, the HR Power Hour and all of that when we're going on with Dave Chulo.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, you know, one of the things that amazed me when Melissa, not Melissa, I apologize, Chef Corey Reese wound up there and her menu was, like, blowing the charts out. I talked to Bill and I said, how did you get this woman? She's amazing. And he stole her away from a really accomplished group in Portland. And he basically just said, I just told her that I wanted her to cook for me. And she said, well, he goes, what do you want? And she's, you know, not as much as the money, because I don't know if he wound up paying her. I'm sure he does now. But she's just like, I want creative control. And he goes, I have no knowledge of the kitchen. It's all you. Whatever you want to do, it's yours. And she's just been, she just thrives there.
And yeah.
And that's up is unbelievable.
That's
and
what a smart employer does. Empower your people. I mean, exactly. I've talked about this here before. No matter what you think of me, whether you like me, don't like me, or don't care about me, J.J. Jeffrey, John Van Hogenston, Bob Fuller, they have just allowed me to do whatever it is I do, and they've trusted me to do it. They've never told me I have to say something. They've never told me I couldn't say something. They've never told me I couldn't have a guest on. You know, we have had some outrageous guests on over the years. And they, you know, they empowered me just to do whatever it is I do. And we've been doing it 21 years, so it must have worked.
Well, you know, and you know, taking that point,
Gotta be quick.
You have interviews on, and you basically just say, I'm going to sit here and I'll let you talk. And that's what makes you an effective interviewer.
You've been here many times, and David and I talked about it, David Jones and I did yesterday. I will often shut my mic off because I don't want to, you know, they say something that I want to pop into, and I'm not going to because I want to hear what they have to say. There's no point in having somebody on your show if you're not going to let them say what they have to say.
Exactly right.
We've got to run, my friend.
Good talking to you, and we will talk to you soon. And I hope everyone has a great holiday spirit.
Absolutely. Bobby the Elf Witkowski, live from New Orleans.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy.